You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way, because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hey, how's everyone doing?
This is the movie show
on Active TV.
I'm Sesh.
My name's Ryan.
And we have had a monumentous day right now.
Cool.
No, do you want to know why, Ryan?
No.
This is our third take.
Nobody's supposed to know about that.
And I just...
And we're about to have our fourth take.
No, we will not have our fourth take. I'm fine. This is our third take.
Three-letter word starts with a C. C-U...
Cough is a five-letter word.
No, I was thinking cut.
Oh, cut!
There you go.
Don't cut. Everybody. Do not cut. That was evil. Anyway, so this is our third take for different reasons.
So we're going to keep that in.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking is that since we're mentioning the third cut, that means we have to put the other two in. So other people can...
Did we just delete the other two? Oh, we did not.
They're
okay.
Still there. So therefore, technically speaking, we are still on the first take. And the fact that I've just mentioned the other two takes means that the editor has to put the other two in. Otherwise, the views are going to be like, where's the other two takes? And then we won't get more views next week because they're like, they don't show us what they talk
these
about.
Fake people.
Right.
Yes.
So therefore, the editor has no excuse. And you can't say that he forgot or he didn't remember.
You're really lengthening
because
this.
We've really been lengthening the other two takes now.
Anyway, so...
We're actually buying time.
Yeah, okay. The reason... Let's explain. The first one was...
So, seven out of nine.
There's a thudding sound. And it's gone now. Okay, that always happens.
We could have artificially put that in.
There we go. So, we could have... Hey.
Again, mentioning that the editor now has to put in that sound.
And then the second time we realized we had already started our Christmas marathon. We are not starting it. So, we started with The Nightmare Before Christmas, which was a Tim Burton Christmas film. And then this week, we looked for films by other directors, but we couldn't really find, much. And then we happened to find this film called The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Yes. Very interesting film. It's strange. It's like, I don't know if your average Joe will like this movie.
Drama comedy?
It is a drama comedy.
Yeah.
It's a drama comedy.
Drum-com.
I like, drum-com. I like these type of, I'm not going to continue. I was going to go off on a tangent with that, but it's fine.
We could do another take.
No, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
We're good. Yeah. So, did you enjoy the film, Ryan?
Yeah, it was good.
It was cool, right? Mm. It's a very...
I like the... I don't know what his name is. Guys, I like faces, not names.
You like faces?
No, that's the director. Not that guy.
His name's...
Never seen him
Paul,
before.
Paul, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Because I've seen him in other films before.
Paul... his surname.
And he's got quite a... Just a face that can be quite comical. That guy.
What did you think of his eye?
Yeah, well... I'm trying to think of the other film that I've seen him in specifically, but I remember in the movie he also had injuries or he had stuff with his eyes as well.
So that's not... So he doesn't have a lazy eye. The actor doesn't have a lazy eye. And if you watch the film, they would switch the lazy eye every now and again.
Oh.
So you didn't actually...
Oh, wow.
You know, they still make the comments in the film like, which eye do I look at? They kind of did that.
Yeah.
And also, I thought this was also clever. So the reason they did it was almost as an ode.
That I saw it in.
You saw him with a...
No, in another... I'm trying to put my finger on
his eye.
I'm trying to remember the movie that I've seen him in previously, but it's also a comical...
He's been in actually a lot of
and
films.
And also...
But he had a lazy eye.
Yeah, not lazy. Just
something wrong
something
with his
with
eye.
Something with his eye.
But one of the reasons they also did it was because... It's almost like, you know how you step into someone else's shoes and you see their...
Yes.
See, which is what the whole story kind of arcs on, that this teacher and the students who don't see eye to eye, then eventually do see eye to eye. But I thought this was quite interesting. So how they achieved his lazy eye was with an opaque contact lens. So he actually said that the effect was so convincing that one of his childhood friends thought that there was actually something wrong with his eye. And he was initially very squeamish about wearing the lens, and it had to be applied and removed by a makeup artist. And he did get accustomed to it over time, but it still caused an issue during production because, in effect, he was actually blind in the one eye.
No.
So that's what the opaque lens does. So especially when, like, having to park a car and do stuff like that, now you've got impaired vision
because
you've literally lost sight in one eye.
Oh, wow.
So
I thought maybe the lens would have been in some way...
Yeah, like you can see through
or something.
Yeah, but clearly not. That's actually true.
That must be quite frustrating.
That must be quite frustrating.
Yeah.
I suppose that kind of adds to your character. Like, it helps you because, like, if you have a lazy eye... Wait, if you have a lazy eye, can you see through it?
You see? Or is a lazy eye like...
Know.
Sure.
I think you do, right?
Mm. It's just that...
Although, did he have a lazy eye or did he have, like, a false eye?
It's probably... In like one spot the whole time.
Yeah. And it would change.
You literally could look at two things at the same time.
Yeah. So what this movie's about.
It's an advantage.
It's a Christmas movie. Mm. Because it's set at Christmas. About a boarding school where everyone leaves for the holidays. But every year a teacher gets put on duty for what they call the holdover. So if any students, because it's a boarding school, if there's any like international students or divorced students that have divorced parents, they sometimes, the school offers that they can remain at the boarding school for the holidays. And then they'll get a teacher that will then supervise and look after them. So that's why it's called the holdover, because it's for that period of time. I think it's 2 weeks. Where
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, the 2 week holdover. And a teacher and a student get paired together, but they both, the head cook, she also remains behind, obviously, to provide
look
the
after
meals.
Them.
Yeah. Mm. So it's like, in a nutshell, it's about three rejects or people who have gone through stuff that have isolated them.
Life experiences.
Yeah, that then caused them to spend Christmas together. Mm. And it was a cool movie.
Yeah, it was.
It was a cool movie.
Because in the beginning, it's almost like oh, my word, there's conflict, right?
Yeah, like a lot.
And then as it goes towards the end, it's like, oh, actually, you know,
yeah,
this is nice.
It was set in the 1970s.
Yes.
And they did a very good job with that, but it wasn't filmed on film.
No.
It was actually filmed digitally. Yes. Yeah, so all of like the noise and the scratches and everything like that, they did post. And would you
have ever thought about that? Okay, this movie is set in the it's 1970s. Wait, okay, look, treatment fine, but like literally, okay, but if it was done in the 1970s, like, I feel like it's an extra step of depth.
Yeah, it is. It does. It helps them set the time period. I didn't think while watching it, this is filmed on film. I didn't personally think
No, that's
that.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, but it did have that 1970s grainy, like, it looked like it was set in the 1970s based on how it looked. And then also, like, the costume design was very good. One thing that the director mentioned was they had to find a lot of boys with long hair because at the time in the 70s, like, that was the fashion. And then, like, he even said the sets, because they didn't build any sets for this film. Everything was filmed on location.
They filmed it out. Yeah.
So they actually found like places that kind of give off that vibe. Mm. And they said in New England, apparently, New England has taken a lot of time to modernize, which helped them because a lot of the stuff looks like it looks in the film. So that's that they filmed a lot of it in New England. And then like one of two things, so like for example the cars, obviously they'd have to get like cars from the 1970s, and even the actor, the extras that they chose, they were very specific because they still wanted it like to give the 1970s whole vibe.
Yeah,
so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not a drama comedy in that you're laughing your way through the film. Mm. Like, they don't tell jokes. It's not that. It's not a Kevin Hart film, but it's a drama, and they use comedic actors because both Paul and I think her name's Divine Joy Randolph. She was the cook. They are actually both comedic actors, and the director actually said he likes casting comedic actors into dramatic roles. Not dramatic as in like over the top, as in like characters that are going through
things.
They
have to be serious.
Yeah. But he says the reason he enjoys doing it is because they kind of know how to like their timing and what they do with the character. Like he likes how they bring that across.
I think it's the thing of staying in a very serious manner, but being comical at the same time, but staying serious.
Yes.
You know, at the same time.
Like we're not making a joke.
Yeah. What? Something on my nose? What's...
Which they did a very good job with. Yeah. Like they really, all the actors. Yeah. This film, it hooks you emotionally. Mm. Like you get attached to the experiences and the hardships that each person have gone through. And by the end of the film, you're like...
And it's quite serious. It is very dramatic. So it's, each person, like the character depth.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's also very real. Like this is not the type, it's not the fantasy film. It's based on like true life. Like this could actually have happened. Like this literally could be a story that took place, you know, like, which, and then I thought this was interesting. So the child, the student, so the actor's name is Dominique Sessa. It was his on-screen debut. He's never, ever, ever acted in front of a camera before.
Oh, wow.
The only thing he had done was a couple of stage plays at his boarding school. And the reason he was cast was, so they chose Paul and they chose Divine as the two characters. And then they were like, okay, now we need the students. And one of, I don't know if it was the producer suggested that they actually go to the local boarding schools and do auditions from like the drama
what
students.
What a great idea.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's actually how they found him. So he was going to the Deerfield Academy in Massachusetts. Did I say that right?
Yeah, sounds right.
Sounds right. Yeah, so that's actually how he was found in an open call audition. They were, however, concerned because of his lack of resume. But Paul was one of the people that actually said, no, let's give him a chance. And he was brilliant.
Is boarding school always a bad thing?
Not necessarily.
Because doesn't boarding in its name mean you
live there.
You live there, yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think it's a... Obviously, there's different reasons
like whenever why I hear boarding about school. Whenever I hear about boarding school, I'm like, you were naughty and now they send you off.
Sometimes it's especially with these like prestigious boarding schools, like all of the if a family's very, very affluent, they'll often send their child to a boarding school. But it's
serious?
A very like if you look at all of the royal family members, so
like it's almost like going to university kind of thing.
Yes, it's they're setting you they're putting you in an environment that will teach you like etiquette and, you know, the highest form of education and
staying in your own place and becoming independent.
Yeah, I think that's the...
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah, because they said to him, the student, if he... Because he did have behavioral issues and they had to keep moving him around.
Yeah.
But the behavioral issues were actually because of his... What was going on in his life.
Yes.
So the lack of discipline...
Which you kind of find out as you go out the film.
But they said to him, if he gets kicked out of this boarding school, they're going to send him to military school. And the problem with that was if... In the 70s, if Americans were sent to military school, they'd end up going to Vietnam because the Vietnam War was happening at the time, which you did not want to go to Vietnam because...
Yeah.
So that's why he was like, please, I can't get kicked out of the school.
Mm. That's crazy because that's related to the cook, isn't it? Because of her son.
Yeah, her son went off to Vietnam.
Wow.
Yeah. This movie is very good. It actually is a very good movie.
Yeah.
The problem is it's not... How do I word this? It's not entertaining.
Yeah,
its aim is not to entertain you.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting watch, and there are comedic elements. So if you watch it, like you do, there's times where things happen when it's not funny, but like I laugh. So at one point, the kid dislocates his shoulder, and just the reaction to him like I was laughing because of how they were how the whole thing played out. So that's where they bring the comedy elements in, where you can kind of laugh at the what's, you know, like when bad things happen. It's like, well, at least we can laugh about it now, type of thing. It's one of those, but it's not like. I don't know how many people would enjoy this movie.
Yeah, no.
Like, I don't think most people would enjoy this movie.
I think this would be the film I'd be watching by myself.
Yeah.
Mm.
There was another film. It reminded me of another film. So there's a film called Lady Bird, which was Greta Gerwig. So she's the director of Barbie. It was one of her first films. And I think it was the first time she cast Saoirse Ronan and Timothée Chalamet. So that the both of them were in that film. And it's basically about a girl, like, you know, those coming of age stories. So a teenage girl coming of age. And like in the story, she has quite a bad relationship with her mom just because she's a teenager. And, you know, like, but it was also, it's one of those, like, it's a lot like this where you're kind of just watching a character develop in the environment. And there's like funny bits to it, but it's not a comedy. It's a drama. And then they just use comedy to like lighten up the mood a bit.
Yes.
Yeah. But this film reminded me a lot of that film. Because she was in a Catholic school. I don't know if it was a boarding school. It might have been a boarding. No, was it?
Catholic boarding school?
I don't know if she went. It was definitely a Catholic school. Mm. And then, yeah. The only thing that's not nice is, wasn't the teacher an atheist? Yes. He was an atheist. In this one.
Possibly, yeah.
I think he was. So obviously there's like those elements of, yeah, an atheist teacher, teenage boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff.
But getting to the end of it, I was like, I actually watched it in one sitting.
No, I wasn't going to dare watch this with any of my family. I knew. This is one of those where, yeah.
So. And the language at times also.
Yeah.
It's not Quentin Tarantino level at all, but there is language as well.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was an interesting watch. Mm. This director, I don't know him very, very well. He's done a lot of films, though. And he's done a film before with Paul. I can't pronounce his man's surname.
Yeah, I know, it's weird.
So I'm not going to try. We'll just play a video with his surname. Yes.
I've got a new trick to language, watching movies with language.
What?
You put the subtitles on. Because then you can see it's coming.
Oh, and then you just mute.
Yeah. Then I just stand there and go, yay!
Well, right, watching a movie, that's wild. The director's name is Alexander Payne, but not P-A-Y-N-E.
I didn't see any movies I was like, I recognize.
He's done a lot, though.
There was some writing that he did for some films that...
Yes, and producer credits.
Yeah.
So, Downsizing, I know. Downsizing was that Matt Damon movie. Remember? I didn't finish that movie. It was weird. Yeah. Do you remember that movie?
Rings a bell.
Yeah. Then he did Nebraska. I haven't watched it. The Descendants. Sideways was the other film that apparently Paul... that's where he originally first worked with Paul.
Oh.
And then Citizen Ruth, don't know, The Passion of Martin.
Mm.
Inside Out 3.
Nope.
In 1992.
Yes. I also saw Inside Out. I'm like, huh?
And Inside Out.
Oh, 91 and 92.
Yeah.
Okay.
And coming up, I don't know what's...
So check his writer
credits.
Yeah.
Most of his films. Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
Oh, in 2001 he did Jurassic Park 3. Yeah, the rest of that.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's not a very well-known... Yeah. Oh, but actually, I thought this was very interesting. So apparently, this film was bought by... what's the production company? Is it Miramax? Miramax?
That one was...
Is that the production company? Was it Miramax? No, it wasn't Miramax. So it was basically, you know, you get film festivals, and I actually didn't realize this, but it makes sense as to why they have film festivals as well, because this film was one of the highest. So the production company that I cannot remember. Guys, wait.
Isn't it like right in the beginning? Right on top. There's a whole lot of words. Just scan through the words. Oh, are these all comments? Never mind.
Okay, found it. Okay, there you go. 3, 2. So Focus Features bought the worldwide rights for this film for $30 million after screening for buyers at the Toronto International Film Festival in 2022.
Oh.
That's madness. Okay. And then it's the biggest sale to ever happen at the festival, despite it not being on the roster that year. But I did not realize that. That's smart. You can like air your film at. So if you didn't know that you could do that, you can air your film at film festivals, and there's potential buyers that will buy the rights for the film, and then yeah. Wow. So when this film was made, Focus Features wasn't involved.
Oh.
But they bought it out for $30 million. Cool.
So you make the film and then you try and get it out there. Yep. Sometimes you don't have a plan.
To all our aspiring filmmakers out there.
You're just like, I don't know how, but guys, millions are going to watch our film.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, it was a, if you have, it was, I suppose it's Christmas time, you know, gets you in the whole Christmas mood. Yeah, it makes you be grateful for Christmas the people in your life.
Yeah.
That your parents
grateful for the things
you
that
boarding
you
boarding school over Christmas.
Yes. Yes.
Don't do that, people.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's got comedy elements to it, so
yeah.
Yeah. Around.
That's it.
Great film, in my opinion, but I don't think most people will like this film.
No.
I don't think.
No.
Yeah. But this has been The Movie Show.
On Active TV.
I'm Sash.
My name is Ryan.
And we will be back next week.
And yeah. Cheers.
Peace.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.